2 Kings chapter number 6. 2 Kings chapter number 6. I want to try to share something that the Lord has laid upon our hearts. And I'm thinking and still looking toward revival and hearts and lives in my own heart. And Brother Kenyon and I, after service last night, we were sharing together some things and just some truths of the Word of God and what's happening and what we love to see happen and love to see God move in power. And I believe on my heart that God's looking for somewhere that he can do that. And God wants to. I believe on my heart God, it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He makes that very plain in his will. That's why Jesus came and died, so men could be saved. And then he's certainly concerned about us that are saved, that we live for God day by day and have his presence in our lives and obey him. Stand please while we read out of 2 Kings chapter 6, and we'll start reading at verse number 1. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too small or too straight for us, meaning it's too small for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. He answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they had come to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was falling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he answered him, and he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick, cast it into the water, cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore, said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. And ask God to help us. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for all the singing and teaching that's gone on here this morning. And Father, praise your name, God, for the truths that have been presented to us through the singing of the songs. And Father, we want to mention to you that we love you. And because you first loved us, we love you. And we thank you, Lord, for caring enough for us that you bought us out of the slave market of sin. And I praise your holy name for that. Now today, I pray that you'd help us for a few moments as we look at the Word of God. And as we endeavor to preach, I pray the touch of God be upon us. We need that heavenly touch. We need that unction. We need that divine move of God. Then over this house today, I pray you would comfort hearts of those in bereavement, those who've been through sorrow and heartache and time. And Father, I do pray you'd encourage their hearts, and the grace of God may abound unto them and help them. I pray for those who have situations that are difficult for them to handle, things that we don't even know about, but you do. And I pray for them, asking God to help them. Then we pray that you would stir our hearts and help all of us today and challenge us and speak to our hearts, and the truths may be put forth, and that all of us may listen to the Word of God. We may hear what you have to say. And I pray the Holy Spirit make it real. Convict those that are unsaved of being lost of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. I pray in Jesus' name the Holy Spirit do the work that only you can do. Then I pray for all that are cold, indifferent. Joy is not theirs it once was. Will you touch the hearts? Then help all of us today. We need help. And Father, we cry unto you that you'd help us in these days. And Father, we need revival. We need a stir from heaven. And I pray you rebuke the devil, the powers of evil. And we plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and ask you now to help us for a few moments to preach like you'd have us to. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. We're going to pick up on a picture of restored power and try to deal with this. And there's so much said in these verses that I don't know that we'll, I'm sure I never get it all said, but in these verses of Scripture, there are such truths given to us that I hope that we'll get that. Of course, we're talking about the prophet Elisha and the sons of the prophets that were there with him. He was teaching them and they were following him. But we want to apply that today to our lives and pray that God would help us. And of course, with that power, that axe head, that cutting power. And we'll talk about that as we get to it. But I want you to see the setting of it. I want you to see what happened here. And there's some great things mentioned here. But today, the great need that we have is the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Brother Clay preaching Wednesday night mentioned that. And surely it's true that we need God's power more than we need anything else. We can plan it out. We can have the meeting set. We can do everything we want to do. But unless the power of God does the work, it'll not be done. We can come to church on Sunday morning. We can meet together, sit together. And boy, God's been good to us. And I praise him and thank him for his goodness. But unless God meets with us, it's not going to be what it ought to be. Unless the presence and the power of God. I realize his presence is within us as we come to church because if we're saved, he lives within. But his manifestation of that power, that presence, is what we long for. That breeze from that other world, that desire that God only does and makes it so real, even when you come in the property that you know you're going to the house of God and come with joy in your heart, a stir in your soul, and looking for God to do great and mighty things. Here today, there are people that are saved, people that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and living for God and got joy and excited about being in the house of God, excited about what God's doing and looking with expectation for revival. There are people here in the house of God today that are saved and they know they're saved, going to heaven, and they're glad to be in the house of God and they're glad revival time's coming, but doesn't have that edge to it that we all need. And I'm not saying I'm where I need to be with all this. I'm just simply saying we all need some help in that area. There's people here today that's lost and without God. And if they die in that situation, they'll go to hell. How sad that is. That's not our desire that anybody go to hell, but all be saved and come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so today as we preach, I pray the power of God would work in hearts and do that I can't do. I can say everything I want to say. I can say words, but what it does in hearts, the Holy Spirit must take that and do it. And how he does that, I can't explain to you. I just know that he does. And I pray today that I forget about everything else and just center in on what God's saying to us here and try to get said what God wants me to say and pray that God would use it for his glory and his honor. And I was talking to Miss Joyce yesterday and she said something to me that struck a deep note in my heart. And I want to be the pastor that I ought to be. I want to be that man of God that ought to be in the pulpit. I want to lead you in the right way. I want to see this church going the right way. And God has been good to us and God has blessed us wonderfully. But I believe as we near the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we see things coming, how much more, we need to be concerned about what God does and how God does work in our hearts, our life. Where are we? And exactly what's God doing in my life? Exactly what's God doing in your life? And where are we spiritually in the sight of a holy God? It's easy for us to look around and measure ourselves up by each other and come out pretty good, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what does God think of us? Where are we with God? And where is that cutting it? Where's that power? Where? And long for that power of God to stir our hearts and help us in these days. And I pray that God would do that. Now, I'm going to try to, I many times say three things, and I'll have a bunch of things under three things, but three things and a bunch of things under three things. But anyway, first thing I want you to see here is a pattern of how they were living, what there was going on here. And there's some good things. I mean, some things that are positive here that's so precious. The sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, "Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us." Here they are, they're followers of Elisha. And they're followers of him. They're hearing his teaching. They're hearing his preaching. They're followers. They're learning, and they're following him. That's good. That's very commendable. And if you'll notice verse number one, it says they dwelt there. They dwelt together. And we need to abide and dwell with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said in John 15:4, abide in me, and I in you. He says the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, nor can you bear fruit of yourself. And then he went on to the next verse and said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. He didn't say something, he said nothing. And so they were dwelling with him. And what a blessed truth that is. To know Jesus is one thing, have fellowship with him day by day, and dwell with him in the sense of that aware of his presence, and that's the foremost things in our heart, in our lives. And again, I refer to Brother Kenya in our conversation last night. I don't think he mind me saying this, but we're talking about, he talking to his children, and he told his children about going to school or doing anything else. As you do that, as you work at it, and as you have your goals set, oh, that's well and good in his place, but remember this, Jesus Christ may come anytime. And when he comes and we go to meet with him, that's all that really matters, our relationship and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. These other things will fall by the wayside. And so we need to keep everything in its right perspective, keep priorities right, and make sure that we're following God in what he's doing, dwelling with him. Here's these sons of the picture of Christian people, and they're dwelling with him there, and here they see something that needs to happen. The place is too small, and they need to build something else, and they see a need. And Jesus said to us, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest. We ought to see the need. And they saw a need for something. They had a burden about it. They wanted to do something about it. And I'm seeing a need for revival. I'm seeing a need that God stir our hearts, and God set us on fire, as it were, and God burdened us for sinners that's out there in the world, and the condition of people and families, and our own condition spiritually. And I want to do something about it. And I realize the fact that I still have a ways to go. I'm not where I want to be. I'm not. I'm preaching to me as well as to you today. I want God to work in my and do something. My life, Brother Bill, that I can see God doing, and the greater burden, the greater desire. And when we talk about revival and having a burden about revival, and the thing about getting a burden is it'll mess up your life. It'll affect your daily routine. And when you really get concerned about revival and really get concerned about people, it bothers you. You remember that woman that came to Jesus for her daughter? She took time, she quit everything she was doing and went to Jesus. And she went in her behalf, and she wasn't concerned about anything else. All she wanted was God do something for her daughter. And anytime you find people really getting a burden about something, it takes priority about over everything else. It is what they think about. It's what they are working toward. It's what they desire. It is their motivation. I say to you today that these prophets, sons of the prophets, they saw that. They saw the need, had a desire to go do something about it. And look at verse number 2. Let us go. We pray thee unto Jordan, take thence every man a beam. Now everybody getting involved. He said every man. Now, talking about cutting down wood, making a beam, and going to build a house, make it bigger. And said every man, wouldn't it be good if everybody really got a burden about revival? Everybody really got a concern about God's work in their hearts. I did, you did, we all did. And here he said that every man may go, take a beam. Let us make us a place there, and we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. They got their commission. They're followers of him. They're abiding with him. They're dwelling with him. They see the need. They've got that in their mind. They're seeing what needs to happen. If you don't see a need today of God doing a work in our hearts, in our churches, and I want you to understand that I thank God for Gateway. I thank God for what he's done. I don't ever take for granted the blessings of God. and the touch of God and what God has done, how good God has been. But oh, how long to see a real old-fashioned heaven-sent Holy Ghost stirring revival where people get under real conviction and cry out to God, what must I do to be saved? Where people will come weeping down the aisle, where people come with a burden and a broken heart for sinners going to hell, where the, God's power is so manifested and so moved. I'm not talking about just emotional stir. I'm talking about a move of a Holy Ghost of God doing the work in hearts. And people, we think that won't come to church, and they're out there in the world and have no desire. But I know a God in heaven that has a power to go where they are, convict their hearts, and draw them by his power. I believe my heart when God's people, Jesus, the word of God says, if my people call by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins and heal their land. Our land's in a mess. Our land's a hurting. You think America's in a mess. Look around the world. The world's in a mess. And countries are throwing out any kind of morals, any kind of stand for God. But oh, how we need a move today. And I realize the fact we come to church and we get involved in, and we're right here and we hear this and we know this, but hey, multitudes out here don't know this, and we need to see the need that's out there and have a burden about that. And so they got the commission. He said, go ye. That's what Jesus said to us. He said, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Get the word out and be a witness for Christ. And look at verse number 4. So he went, but verse 3, I'm sorry, back up to verse 3. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. Now, their followers and they're dwelling with, abiding with, they see a need, and they ask to go do a work. They want to do something about it. And Jesus said, go ahead and do it. But then they said, go with us. Go with us. They knew that if they were going to go, they wanted him to go too. They wanted him to go with them into the work. Hey, if we ever see real revival, we'll have to get God involved in this thing. And we can get the preacher in. We got a good preacher coming. And we'll have good, his family even sing. We got good singers here. We'll have good singing, good preaching, all that. But oh, it'll all be vain unless God shows up in power, unless he comes with us. Amen. I'm interested in God going with us. I'm interested in this thing of God going with us. That's what he said. You go with us. And he said, I will go. Hallelujah. You know what? God wants to help us. We are laborers together with him. And you can't be in a better field than his field, because he'll be with you. And so verse 4, so he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. Now here's the problem that happened in verse number 5. But as one was falling, fell in the beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And I want to show you this. And so much said in that one verse of scripture, the problem. And I want you to get this if you don't get anything else I say today. This man was busy doing what he's supposed to be doing. He was busy doing what with the work that needed to be done. They was cutting down trees. They was making beams. And he was chopping away. He was working at it. But something happened, and he got in trouble because he lost his axe head. He didn't lose it while he's sitting under a shade tree. He didn't lose it while he's out there back at the other camp they had. He didn't lose it while he's out there with the world somewhere. He didn't lose it while he was away from the problem. He didn't lose it then. He lost it while he was doing what he's supposed to be doing. God struck my heart. God struck me heavy with this, that you and I can be busy about the work of God. We can be in the house of God. We can be singing songs. We can be preaching messages. We can be doing what we're supposed to be doing. If we're not careful, we'll lose that axe head. We'll lose that edge, that something, that oomph that we need. That's something you can't explain. And I guarantee you, if you've been saved any length of time, you know what I'm talking about. You're aware of it, because every one of us goes through times that we don't. These times you come to church and boy, you feel ready to come. You're ready to worship. You're excited, you're stirred, you're helped. These other times you come in and somehow it's just not there. Somehow it's just didn't work and it's not clicking. A services we get into, it's a whole lot more free to preach, a whole lot more free to do things. People, a whole lot more things happen. But there's other times you come in, it's not that way. And I believe in my heart today that sometimes we can be busy doing what we know we need to do, but we're not getting anywhere with it. And we need to understand, we need to pull up, find out what's wrong, let God help us with that is wrong, and see what's happening here. Verse 5, he fell in doing what he's supposed to be doing. Axe head fell into the water. Did you know axe heads don't suddenly just fly in the water? Now, I grew up swinging an axe, and I never owned a chainsaw in my life. I've cut wood with a cross-cut saw. I've sawed it with a handsaw. I've split wood with a wedge and a hammer. I've done all those kind of things, and I've used an axe and had the head to come off. But I've taken the end of the axe when I put a new handle in it, put the wedge in there, and drive it in good so it's good and tight. But eventually, it would work loose. I've even drove nails in the end of the handle, bent it over to hold that head on, and keep on chopping. After a while, that nail will work loose in there, and that head will start sliding off, working away with it. But that head will eventually work loose and fall off. Did you know what this man's problem was? He lost his axe head. I get it said. Amen. Spit that out, Clay. Brother, help me. Amen. And he lost that axe head, and he couldn't chop wood anymore. And I'm saying to you, it gradually happened, though. If he'd have stopped long enough and checked up on that axe head and found out, is it getting loose? I've been chopping a long time here. Let me check the axe head. And it's loose. I need to drive a wedge in it. I need to do something to help it. It's going to fly off if I don't do that. But he kept on chopping. He kept on chopping. I think sometimes we in our Christian life, we just keep on chopping. Keep on a chopping, but we don't take time to examine ourselves, pull up long enough to say, where am I? Exactly where am I in my Christian life? Exactly what am I accomplishing in my Christian life? And what am I doing? And we're talking about revival now coming at that time. Exactly how much do I care about it? Exactly where am I? Where is my cutting edge? And where's my axe head anyhow? You know what? You can stand there and swing. Have you ever seen somebody with axe head fly off, keep on swinging? Just got a handle, pop, hits a tree but don't do anything. And hit it again but it doesn't do anything. Sometimes if we're not careful in our Christian life, we're swinging the handle but we don't have any axe head. We're not getting anywhere. We're not getting any chips to fly. And the tree's not falling, not even beams being made. And so we need to pull up. And there's one good thing that can be said about in verse number 5 about this man. When that axe head fell off, he knew right then he had to quit chopping. It bothered him. He got deeply disturbed about it. And the Bible said in verse 5, he cried and said, "Alas, master." Look what it said. He cried and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." He knew it wasn't his. Hey, it wasn't his power. It wasn't his sharpness of that axe. That axe had belonged to somebody else. He'd borrowed it. Did you know it's not my power and your power? It's his power. I said a while ago, Jesus said, you can do nothing without me. I can't do anything. Brother Shelton that's coming to preach, he can't do it in himself. It'll take the power of God. It takes that cutting edge, that axe head of the Holy Ghost of God to get the work done. And so today we need that, amen. But as soon as it left his axe handle, he knew it and he cried out to Elisha for help. I would today that when we begin to grow cold and we begin to lose some power and we begin to see ourselves like God wants us to see ourselves and we pulled up and checked up or it happens and then we realize it's happened. Sometimes what we do, we're ashamed to admit that we lost the axe head and we just keep on chopping. And everybody sees us swinging, it looks all right. But what we really need to do is pull up and say, I don't have the head. I've lost the edge. I've got to get this thing back to you. I need some help, Lord. Amen. And then we get tired, we'll get some help. And he cried and said, I need some help. It was borrowed. It It's God's power. But look at verse number 6. And the man of God said, where fell it? He said, now you lost the axe head, but where did it fall? Where did it go? I want to back up just a minute to verse 5. It said the axe head fell into the water. Now, running water speaks of the Holy Ghost, and still water speaks of the Word of God in this, but it fell into the Jordan River, running water. The Holy Spirit is a power that can help you, or he can take away that power. He can make an edge sharp, or he can make you a dull. It's him. And it fell into the water. That iron head fell into the water. That caught my attention, and I got to thinking about that, how the Holy Spirit lives within us. He can manifest himself, and the power of God be so real, or else he can hold that back. And we don't have that power that we need. And he cried. But verse 6, and the man of God said, where fell it? Here, he's lost his ex-head. He knows it. He's desperately disturbed about it. He cares. He wants it. He desires it. He knows he can't cut wood without it. And so he cries to the man of God about it. He first thing he asked him, where did it fall? Where is it? And wherever it went, we need to find out. And we need to get there so we can get the axe head back. Amen. Let me ask you, where'd you lose your power? Where'd you lose your closeness with God? Where'd you lose that joy? When did it begin to realize the fact that the edge wasn't there, the cutting edge like it ought to be? Where did that happen anyhow? And that desire and that want to and that stir in your heart. Where? Find that out and you'll begin moving in the right direction, crying to God about it. God will help you know about that. Might have been slacking up Bible reading. Might have been slacking up on church. Might have been missing Sunday night or Wednesday night. Might be not coming to visitation. Might be a whole lot of it. But where did you begin to miss God's presence, God's power, God's joy in your life? God's saying something to us. We need to hear it. Amen. And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick, cast it in the water. And the iron did swim. Iron don't float. It doesn't come to the top of the water, but that did. But he cut down a stick first. I remember somebody else cut down a stick one time in the Old Testament, Moses. When they was at the waters of Marah, it was bitter and they couldn't drink it. And he cut down a stick and cast it in the waters, and then they could drink it. Do you know what is a type of a picture of the cross of Calvary? And this stick he cut down there was a picture of the cross. Best place we can get is to the cross, to Jesus. And bound at the foot of the cross, we can find our power. We can find the power we need. We can get what we ought to be, and the burden we ought to have, and the drive we need, that cutting edge that we're looking for, and we find it there. He cut down a stick, and the man of God threw it in the water, and that axe head came to the top, and the Bible said iron did swim, and I believe what that means was that axe head flew off in the river. And when he threw in that stick, it come to the top. It didn't just float and come to the top, but it came over toward the bank of the river and started coming to him. But then I want you to notice something else, and I'll close. I want you to see this. And verse number 6, and he cut down a stick, cast it in thither. Iron did swim. Look at verse 7. Therefore, said he, take it up to thee. He put out his hand and took it. Now God made the iron swim. It came to the top. It came over toward where he was. But the man that was swinging the axe, the man that had the axe handle, he had to reach out and take it. It was there. God put it there. It was for him. But he had to make a conscious effort himself to reach out and to get that axe head and get it back and put it back on the house. Hey, God expects God. We can't sit around and expect God just to dump it out on us and us not do anything. We're going to have to reach out by faith. Get a hold of it. Amen. And let God give us the edge back and let God do something for us. Hallelujah. I'm glad God can make the axe head swim. You say, preacher, I've lost that edge in my life. I've lost that thrill in my life. I don't have that something I need in my life. I'm glad to report to you today. You can come to the cross, reach out by faith, and God will help you pick it up. And take it back, amen. Put it to work. Start chopping away and watching the beams fall. Where are you today? Where's your life? How's it going? Do you really have the edge? Is God really helping you like you know ought to be happening in your life? Is your life dull? Is the head gone? You got the handle. You know you're saved, but you're not getting anywhere with God, not making any progress in your Christian life, not growing in grace. God's saying something to you. I'm glad today we got a God that loves us, a God that'll help us. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, I pray today the Holy Spirit would do a work that only you can do. Father, surely we need to all be made aware of the edge that we need, the sharpness of the axe head, the power of the Holy Spirit. There's something in our hearts that stirs us greatly, that moves us in the direction of revival, moves us in seeing ourselves. Lord, we need to pull up this morning and look at our axe and see how the head is on it. And if it's getting loose and it's gradually moving away, then help us, God, to get concerned and get it fixed. Then if we have lost it, help us get to the cross and, Lord, let it reach out by faith and get a hold of it. I pray today you'd have your way. Magnify yourself and get glory. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.